in a place before we get to our actual reading lesson, but I do want to make a couple of preliminary remarks. I hear people from time to time, and we joke about this a lot from time to time, about a preacher stepping on your toes. And sometimes that's the case. Sometimes the preacher does, in fact, hit a sore spot or something with people. But this morning, I'm not aiming for your toes. I'm aiming for your heart. You know, as I was preparing for this message this morning, the Lord gave me these thoughts. And I believe them to be of utmost importance for us as God's people. And I want to talk about God's people this morning, not in a negative way. And you may think for a short while this morning that I'm talking about God's people in a negative way, but I'm not. I'm going to try to start this message on a positive note, and hopefully I'll be able to end it on a positive note. But there may be a rocky middle in there for just a little while, but I promise you that if you'll take this message in the way that the Lord has given it to me, that we'll all be able to leave here with an understanding of what the Word says. You know, I have many times been in churches and I've heard the preacher preach, and I'll go ahead and give you my reading lesson so you can be turning there. Deuteronomy chapter 7, and we'll start our reading here, but I've heard many preachers say from time to time, or have walked out of churches, and I thought, man, I was not expecting that. I hope this morning that you don't walk out here saying, I just really enjoyed that message. Because I hope it hits home with all of us that have truly been saved by the grace of God. I hope it lodges in our hearts. It's lodged in my heart this week. And I pray that it will benefit you. Deuteronomy chapter 7, and this is just a preliminary reading. Deuteronomy means the law written again. Now, you've got to realize Moses wrote Deuteronomy, or was given Deuteronomy from the Lord, and it's a oftentimes overlooked book of our Bible. But if I was actually going to give you a lesson text this morning, I would just tell you to read all of the book of Deuteronomy, but I don't have the time to read all of it before you're hearing this morning, so I've had to condense it down to the few points that God has really laid upon our hearts. Now, Moses, we know him. That's a very common name for church people. If you've ever been around Sunday school very much, you've heard of Moses and how Moses was chosen by the Lord to lead a group of people out of Pharaoh's hand. And these people are titled or given the name, the children of Israel. And he led them out of Pharaoh's bondage. And Moses, being a lot like myself, he said, who am I to do that, Lord? Who am I to lead the children of Israel out of Pharaoh's bondage? How can I do that? And the Lord gave him grace to be able to do that. And I want to read these verses of Scripture for you this morning. Then I've got a couple of remarks before we move to our actual reading lesson. Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 6 says this, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all the people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of the Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." Before we read our actual reading lesson in Deuteronomy chapter 29, and we'll move over into 30 just a little bit, but before I read that, I want you to understand a few points this morning so that you'll be able to understand this lesson a little bit better. When I talk about Israel today, I'm talking about a past Israel An Israel that was God's chosen people in this time. If you remember a verse of Scripture in 1 Peter 2:9, it says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a holy nation, a peculiar people. A people who once were not enlightened, but now are enlightened by God's mercy." When I talk about Israel, I'm talking about an ancient Israel. An Israel that is long ago past. I'm not talking about a country over in the Middle East today. In fact, I'm talking about an Israel that's gone, but an Israel that's here today. And you say, "Preacher, how can you not be talking about Israel in that country today that people are fighting over?" I'm talking about a spiritual Israel. I'm talking about something that when you've been saved by the grace of God, that you become a part of. Every one of us that have been saved by God's grace becomes a spiritual Jew upon the moment that God saves our soul. He circumcises our heart and He makes us spiritually a Jew, and we become a part of the nation of Israel. I've heard in the news the last years about them talking about peace for Israel. Well, I have nothing against those people over there. I really don't. But they're not who God is talking about in these Scriptures. They're not the one that God has chosen to be His people. No, those that have been chosen by God are those that have been saved by His grace and His church. That is the Israel that I want to talk about this morning. Not the people in the Middle East. They're good people, I'm sure. But when your politicians are saying we need to keep peace in Israel, oh, do we ever need to keep peace in Israel? And I'm talking about a spiritual Israel. If they only realized the Israel that really needed peace, they would realize it's the true and the living God's church that is here on earth, not the country. Bless their hearts, I don't want anybody to be wiped off a map. But they're wiping God's people off a map quicker than they're wiping those people off the map. They're not the ones this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 29. Verse 24. It says, even... And I'll give you just a moment to turn there. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 24. It says, even all nations shall say, wherefore hath the Lord done this unto this land? What meaneth the heat of this great anger? The men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord, God of their fathers, which He made with them when He brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. For they went and served other gods and worshipped them, gods whom they knew not, and whom He had not given unto them. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the land to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book, Deuteronomy. It says, and the Lord rooted them out of the land in anger and in wrath, and in great indignation, and cast them into another land as it is this day. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but these things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Verse 8 of chapter 30 says this. It says, and thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all of His commandments which I command thee this day. Verse 15, and I told you we're going to have to skip around just a bit. I'd like to just read all of Deuteronomy, but I don't have time. It says, see, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commandments and statutes and His judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey His voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto Him, for He is that life, and thy length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto the fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Now I read in your hearing verses out of chapter 6, out of chapter 29, and out of chapter 30. You know, the good news is this morning is that as God was speaking through Moses to Israel in chapter 6 and called those people there His people. You see, I believe as much as God speaking to them saying, "You're my people," I believe He was typing and shadowing a day that would come when God's people would become under the new covenant, the new law, the new way of salvation when the New Testament was established. And I believe that as people began to be saved and as people began to be added to spiritual Israel, that the same words that were spoken to Israel here apply to us today. For thou art my people. You are mine. You belong to me. I have chosen you. I have made you mine. You belong to me. Can you imagine how great that those words are this morning? That God has chosen us to be His people. That God has manifested Himself time and time again in our lives that we might know that He is our God and we are His people. He's made that manifest in my life many times. But you know, as Israel here always seemed to find themselves in trouble. They were God's people. And God told them many times, "I will never leave you and I will never forsake you." But He did not promise them that He would not punish them when they had done wrong. In fact, when they had done wrong, He promised them, "You will pay for what you have done." Do you remember a phrase that your parents used to say when you had done something or you were asking a question or you were really just getting on their nerves? And their response was, "You heard me. You heard what I told you. You should have listened. You got yourself in trouble, did something they told you not to do, and they come at you and they said, 'You heard me.'" Well, maybe today, if I could title this message, it would be, "You have been warned." That's basically what your mom and your dad was saying when they said, "You heard me." Is you've been warned. You have been told what to do time and time again, yet you choose not to do it. These scriptures in verse 30 and in chapter 30, God was telling Israel, He said, "You have a choice before you. You can go and you can serve me, or you can go and serve everything else but me, but you cannot serve both. You cannot have it both ways. You cannot have your cake and eat it too," as we say today. "You can either serve me like I have commanded you to, and I've made you covenants time and time again. I have told you over and over, if you will do what I've asked you to do, that I will be with you. I've set before you two choices." And you see the way that He phrased it: life and blessings, or death and a curse. Now, that seems pretty easy for people. Who would choose death and a curse? Dare say not one of you is going to do it. But Israel, being who that they are, were a fickle people. Remember that verse of Scripture I told you about in 1 Peter 2 and 9? A peculiar people. Boy, I tell you what, God's people sometimes can be the most peculiar people that there ever have been. God could raise the roof off this house today, we could see a direct line to heaven, and we would still question God over and over and over. We would. Israel, Moses, the Scripture says he is the only one out of the prophets that was able to see Him face to face. And you remember what Moses did? The Lord told Moses, He says, "You smite the rock." Moses smote the rock. He says, "Moses, you speak to the rock." And what did Moses do? He smote the rock. Moses got himself in trouble, even though he had seen God face to face. Got himself in trouble. Israel time and time again, being led out of bondage from Egypt, led through the wilderness 40 years, being fed with manna from heaven. Yet they still found themselves in trouble. Do you realize that's what we're in today? As God's people, we're in that time with, I believe, in our Christian walk, in our church age that we're in, that we have found ourselves at this point of choosing. Once again, if you remember a few weeks ago, I preached a sermon here, Decision 2016. That's a big choice for our country. And it's one that our country must take seriously. Our next election is one of the greatest elections you and I will probably ever see. Most likely. But more than that, that is a decision we must make. As God's people, we have got to make a stand for the Lord. The country may go off in a different direction, but God's people are going to have to make a choice. You can choose life and blessings or death and a curse, but you make the choice. Read what he said. He said, I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments. You remember what the first two commandments are? Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And this is just Moses. Actually, Deuteronomy chapter 5. This is just Moses reiterating his commandments that have been given to him from the Lord. The first commandment was, is thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make an image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. The first two commandments that God gave us were those two. And you know the first two we want to break is those two. We want to put everything before God. And we want to make all kinds of idols before God. You know, Israel did that. Israel did many times. We're going to get into that in just a little bit. I want to show you today the two possibilities. I want to show you what the choice that we're going to make as a church and as God's people. Because we have it before us. You ever heard of the poem written by Robert Frost, Two Roads That Diverged in a Wood? We've got a choice as God's people. We can either take the choice that goes down the path that the world wants to take, or we can take the path that God has set before us. But we will make a choice, and you will live with that choice. Israel had to. But I want you to notice in verse 19 what he says. He says, I call to heaven and earth to record this day against you. Basically, today, I am calling together both heaven and earth, and they're going to remember the choice that you make. They're going to know. I've set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. You know, as Moses was talking to Israel here, given this by the Lord, no doubt, and I have no doubts about this, they could not see us here today. They had no idea. Had no idea that in year 2016 that there would be a group of people that would gather together on Nolensville Road in Nashville, Tennessee. There's no way they had an idea about that. But yet we still have the same choice before us today. We still have the same opportunity before us. It says that thy seed may live. You know what the choice really is today? If you have a hope for your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren and your great-great-great-great-grandchildren to ever be saved, we're going to have to hold on to God and the principles that He has for us. If we have a hope for them. The Bible says there shall be a remnant somewhere, but it doesn't say right here.
If you look through the Bible, God has moved His people around a whole lot. And that doesn't mean that He's always going to leave it right here in Middle Tennessee. Doesn't mean that. If you notice, He was talking to Israel here, where they were most likely at around today, over there in the Middle East. These people were God's people, and I'll dare say there's not a whole lot of God's true people actually over there today. So you see that God has moved His people time and time again. Don't think that He won't do it again. If our seed may live, we have got to make this choice. I want you to turn with me to Joshua chapter 24. If you remember, just a few chapters after that in Deuteronomy chapter 34, remember what happened to Moses? Moses dies. Just as you and I will, we're going to die. Moses led those people out of Egypt, and the Lord told him, He said, you're going to take them to Canaan land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. It will supply all of your needs, as Brother Colin told us about on Wednesday night. It will supply the needs that you have. It was a beautiful, plush, lush, very wonderful land there in the Middle East. It was a place that was a prized possession. And God was going to give it to His children, His chosen people. But because Moses disobeyed God, God told him, He said, you can see it, Moses, but you can't lead your people over there. You'll not ever go into Canaan land. You'll see it, but you can't go. And so Moses, toward the end of his life, he goes up on the mountain and he looks out. And he sees all of the land that the Lord has promised him and his people. Remember the covenant that God made with Abraham way back in Genesis 12? He said, I will multiply thy seed abundantly. Moses, or Abraham being about in his 90s, probably thought, Lord, you have lost your mind. Abraham and Sarah had no children. But you know what God does? When He makes a promise, He keeps that promise. When He makes a covenant with people or with mankind, He has always kept that covenant. He has never once broken a promise that He has made. He has not done it. And He will not start now. He didn't do it then. And He keeps telling him, I will keep that covenant. Even though you're probably going to disobey me, Israel, I'm going to keep that covenant. I'm going to make good on my end of the promise, even if you don't. And if I've jumped way ahead of myself, I'll talk about that if the Lord will help us a little bit later on. But you remember who led the children of Israel after Moses was able to? Joshua. And the Lord told Moses, He told him, He said, Joshua will be the one that will lead those people in. And He did. If you remember what the Lord told Joshua over in the first chapter of Joshua, He said, don't turn from the right or from the left, but you go straight with what I've given you and you will be okay. I will be with you, Joshua, and I will help you. Straight from the Lord. And it's still applicable to us today. If we don't turn to the left and to the right, God will help us and He will be with us. But now Joshua is nearing the end of his life. And Joshua has called Israel together. And his address to Israel goes a little something like this, and I'm not going to read it all to you. But I want you to turn there, Joshua chapter 24, and I'll read just a short portion of it. 14th verse says, now therefore, fear or reverence the Lord, respect the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. This is the part where He really drills it home to those that were there. And He says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve this Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For heaven forbid that we do that. It says, for the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. Joshua told the people in verse 19, he says, ye cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God, and He is a jealous God, and He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. He says, if you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that He hath done you good. Realize what Joshua was saying. He wasn't saying that he would never save people. But you see, when God has repeatedly asked us time and time again, serve me and nobody else. Put me first. Make me the light of your life. And when we turn and remember the commandment, thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt make no graven images against me. But yet you do it. He says He will not forgive that. What does that mean, preacher? It means you have to pay for your transgressions. It means you will face the consequences for your actions. You will face that. But notice what he says in verse 20. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt. Turn with me to Judges chapter 10. And I'm trying to hurry along this morning. I told you I was going to paint you a picture this morning of the two choices. We've got Israel being given the commission, the choice. Life and blessings. Death and a curse. The choice is yours, Israel. Do with it what you will. But I call together before heaven and earth that it shall be a remembrance to you that you will remember what I told you. Remember the thought this morning? You have been warned. You have been told what's going to happen to you. Have you ever watched a little kid that sees something he or she wants? And you couldn't stop that kid if you wanted to. Turn on a stove. And I guess we'll use this analogy this morning. Turn on a stove. You tell that kid, don't you go touch that stove. The first thing that kid does is he goes and he touches that stove. And you know what happens when he touches that stove? It hurts. It hurts. And they will squall and they'll cry and they'll say, well, somebody help me. And they'll ask their mom and their dad to make it feel better. Well, you've done it to yourself. They can't make the pain go away. You did it yourself. And now guess what? You've got to answer for touching that stove. You're going to have to deal with the pain. I know I did things as a kid. Mom would tell me not to do something and it would just eat me alive until I went and did it. Just eat me up. Israel was a lot like a little kid. They could not wait to go and disobey God. Just could not wait. You know, you realize, you think sometimes we flip these pages so quick that these things happen just rapid fire. This took a long time for some of these things to happen. There's a lot of time that passes between some of these pages in the Bible. But it sure don't take them a whole lot long time to forget about God. Read with me just for a few moments. Like I said, I'm going to try to hurry along. Judges chapter 10, verse 10. It says, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, we have sinned against thee. Now listen to what they've done. You ever heard somebody that was trying to tell you their side of the story to make themselves look like they hadn't really done a whole lot, but they had? The evidence was all against them. They've done it. No mistaking that they had. And now they want forgiveness. If you watch people that go on trial for murder or something, well, yeah, I did it, but I didn't mean to. Yeah, I did it, but I didn't know what was going to happen when I pulled the trigger.
Duh.
You pull the trigger, things come out of the gun. It makes a whole lot of sense that when you do something against God, you are going to face the consequences. You're going to. Just like pulling that trigger, you pull the trigger, bang, guess what? The bullet comes out. You try to stop that bullet and see how well that works out for you. It won't. So guess what? Don't pull the trigger. And you don't have to worry about trying to get the bullet back in the gun. Because you can't. It says, we have sinned against thee both. Not just one thing. Both. Because we have forsaken our God. We have forgotten our God. We have turned against our God. And they snuck this in there and we served Balaam. As an afterthought, we served Balaam. What did God tell you? Do not, 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 do not serve any other God but me. And they did it. Now Israel, guess what? You're going to pay. This is the Lord's response in verse 13. Yet ye have forsaken me and served other gods. I wonder how many times when I was young, when I was standing before mom after I'd done something, and dad, I kept thinking, man, wish I hadn't done that. It'd be a whole lot easier if I hadn't done that. Knowing the whole time I was fixing to just get the hammer dropped on me. Israel's fixing to get the hammer dropped on them. And they're probably standing there thinking, you know what? God's bailed us out before. God's gone easy on us a few times. Maybe, just maybe, He'll go easy on us again. There are a few times I've done things they should have grounded me for life. Should have just locked me up and threw away the key. They went light on me. But I did learn some lessons out of those things. But there were times when they dropped the hammer and I learned my lesson. You know, tough love sometimes really does work. It does. Sometimes you have to show people what's right and what's wrong. Now listen to what the Lord told Israel. Verse 14. Go and cry unto the gods which ye have chosen. There's that word again. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation. Can you just imagine Israel standing before the Lord just saying, just kind of broken down. Let me ask you something this morning. I've had a lot of people that didn't like me. I wouldn't say I have any mortal enemies. But let me ask you something. Raise your hand this morning if you want God on your bad side. If you want to be on God's bad side. Just raise your hand. I want to see a show of hands. Good. None of you. Israel's fixing to get on God's bad side. How many of you want God as an enemy? Raise your hand. None of you want God as an enemy. There's a lot of people that I don't want as my enemy. They can do you harm. But I would take every single one of you as my enemy over God any day. I would rather have God on my side than any of you all. I love every single one of you this morning. But I'd forsake every one of you for God. I'd turn all of you away for God if that's what it took. And I love every one of you all more than you know. But I love God more than I love you. That's how it should be. We'll get to a point here in a moment. And the children of Israel said unto the Lord, we have sinned. Do thou unto us whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. Deliver us only, we pray thee, this day. Listen to their response. Lord, do whatever that you've got to do to us, but please deliver us this time. Please. That's choice number one. Death and a curse. How many of you want to have to fall on your knees and beg God and ask God, Lord, do what you've got to my life, but please deliver me. We don't want that. You know what happens today when God's people start serving everything else but God? This exact thing. He told us, don't make any graven images. Don't make any idols before me. Don't do it. Just don't do it. You know what we do as God's people? We set everything in front of God. Everything we have, we take and we put it right before God. And He told us, don't do it. Yet we do it. You know anything that comes before God, and I mean anything. You can argue with me after service if you want to, but anything that comes between you and your service for God is an idol. You know what you need to do with those idols this morning? Bring them up here to this altar and lay them down. Because if we keep serving everything else but God, we're going to find ourselves exactly in this shape. You say, preacher, being awful hard on us this morning. We may want you to go away again. I'm going to tell you something this morning. We are so blessed here at Mount Calvary. We have been blessed in the last year. But let's not stop now. Let's not start putting things between us and God so it rips it all away. We've got to stand on guard against the devil and anything he wants to slide in front of us. Otherwise, death and a curse. You know what the death and the curse means? I'll take your candlestick away. That your seed may live. They might not have an opportunity. Your children, your grandchildren, your great-great-grandchildren, they may not have an opportunity to hear the truth if we don't stand bold in our faith right now. But there's good news. Told you. I was going to start out kind of easy on you, telling you that you are God's people and you are God's people. Told you it had to get a little bit rough. Because there's some... I'm going to try to hurry, I promise. There is some bad things that can happen to us when we stop serving God. But. There's good news. There's good news. Turn with me back to Deuteronomy. And I want you to turn with me to chapter 31. There's good news this morning for us. As a church and as His people. The good news is God's still on His throne. That's good news number one. And if, big old if, it's a big word, two letters, two big, very big letters. If we will do what God has for us to do, this is what He tells us He will do. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. It says, and be strong. Be strong. You know what my desire is for this church? For everybody here that has been saved by the grace of God, is that you be strong. Be strong, Christians. Be strong, church members. Be strong, families. Be strong, husbands. Be strong, wives. Be strong! And of good courage. Good courage. Take courage. Fear not. And be not afraid of them, those that come against you. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Is that not good news this morning? You see, we got to see the bad side. But there's a good side to God. A loving side to God. A God that wants to be your God. He loves you this morning. And He wants to be the God of your life. You know how much He wants to be the God of your life? If you're here today and you're lost, He sent His Son to die for you. That's how much that He wants to be your God. That He would send His Son for you. So that we could be strong and of good courage. That He would be there for us. In 2016. When a nation has turned against God. The nation of the United States, I'm going to be honest with you about something this morning. This nation is not going to change except God's people do the changing. We heard that yesterday. Except God's people do what God has asked them to do, there will be no change. Won't be. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. But the good news is, He is still there, making intercession for lost souls. He's still with His church. He's not left us. Lord, have mercy. He's not left us. The world says He's gone. They're liars. They're liars. One more verse of Scripture. Two more verses of Scripture I want to read, and I'm going to close this morning. Jeremiah chapter 6. And Brother J.R. Mullins used these verses of Scripture yesterday to close his message, and I already had them marked for this morning. This is for the church this morning, right here. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see. Ask for the old paths, which where is the good way, and walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. They said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear ye nations and know, O congregation, what is among them. Ezekiel said, the Lord has set me as a watchman over the house of Israel. He said, the only words that I can say are to warn Israel. Only thing that God will allow me to speak is to warn the wrath that is coming. These verses of Scripture says that we are watchmen, that the congregation may hear what is among them. July 11th of 2015, this church allowed me to become a watchman over her. I have a duty to stand before you and preach the full counsel of God. The full counsel of God sometimes is not pretty. It's not easy. But if I fail to warn you all of what's ahead, I have to answer for that blood. You'll have to answer for the blood if you don't listen. You don't have to listen to the preacher. You don't. You can take what I've said today, walk out and get in your cars, go the rest of the week and never think a thing or worry about it. You don't have to. I'll just be honest with you. You can take it all and turn it away. But I want to make mention of one thing. Every single one of us is going to stand before God, both good and bad, saved and unsaved. Everybody here today. I want everybody here to stand up right now. Everyone, stand up. It's a standing sign. Everybody stand up. Every single one of you all today are going to stand before the Lord. And He's going to look. He's going to see the good and the bad that you've done. Every single thing. The most important thing He's looking for is the blood that's applied to your soul. That's exactly what He's looking for. That's what He's looking for. If it's not there, you don't go to heaven regardless of what you've done. You can do the best thing that there has been. You could get out today, walk over to Percy Priest Lake, and walk across the water and never drown. And if you've not been saved, you die and go to hell. That's how it works. He's going to look on every single one of them. And saved people, He's going to look at you too. He's going to see the blood. Say, that one's mine. He's going to look at the works that you've done, and you'll be judged by those, both good and bad. You can take what I've said and you can toss it in the trash. But we all must stand before God. I've got to stand before God someday.
Amen.
And He's going to look. I don't know how it's going to work. I imagine in this may just be a tailorism. He may look and He may say, you pastored Mount Calvary for this length of time. And I don't want to look at me and say, you failed those people by not warning them about what was going to happen if they didn't listen. I wanted to say, you warned them, and if they didn't listen, it's their fault. It's their fault. But you did what I asked you to do. I love this church more than I love myself. I would walk out right now and lay down my life for everybody here. I would lay my life down for Mount Calvary Church just as sure as I'm standing here. I would do that because I love her. And I wouldn't get up here and preach messages like that if I didn't love you. Hardest thing I've ever done is have to get up here and preach hard to a bunch of people that I love. I laid in bed all night last night, worried about you all, praying for you all, and just begging the Lord, please, let them listen. This statement was made yesterday, and I'm going to leave you with this. Revival won't happen with just two people. That's all there is that can happen. But if we want a revival, a true, Spirit-filled revival to spark in this church, it's going to take every single one of us to do it. Not just me. I can get up here and I can do the best that I can. We've got to put forth our best effort. If we want to see souls saved in this community changed, if we don't want to see that, we'll lock the doors today, we'll sell the building, and we'll disperse it. That's not our goal. If that's not our mission, let's be done. What do you want to do today, church? We're willing to go on and stand for God. That's what we've got to do. This is the most important thing that saved people will do, is make this choice. We're going to walk with the Lord today. May God bless you as I pray. I'm going to sing this song. If you need to come to this altar and pray, I'm fixing to pray. I'm just going to be honest with you. While we stand together, while we sing, if you need to come to this altar and pray and ask God for forgiveness, if you need to get something straightened out with God as a saved person, this altar is an excellent place to do that. If you're lost, let me say this. If you're lost, you're on God's bad side right now. And you need to be saved. And I would beg you to come and seek the Lord.
Amen.
You need to seek and do. I'm fixing to pray while we sing. If you need to come pray, come do that. While we stand together, while we sing.